This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes. You know what was the, or you remember what was the issue with the Liat, with traveling through the Caribbean with Liat? You know one of the issues?
You tell me what you think.
One of the issues that I see was the taxes, which is one of the main and important aspects of the travel in the Caribbean. Not the price of the ticket, but the taxes. I see now, I agree with the Prime Minister, Antigua and Barbuda, to a certain extent. We should not look to get these all types of other little airlines coming to the Caribbean. We should invest in Liat. And if those islands that don't want to put any money in Liat, we won't fly there. Make sure that all those countries contribute if they want to benefit from Liat. And I'm saying that Liat had a good track record. And I'm saying that even if Dominica joined with Antigua, I believe that Barbados should join. St. Lucia never wanted to put any money. Grenada, I would do without them. You got anything to say?
Well, do you know how long we have been in this region trying to find a solution to Liat? There are those who will tell you that in their judgment, you can't look at the regional airline situation from a profit perspective, that regional transport is the lifeblood of business in this Caribbean community. And therefore, you have to live with some measure of subsidy. The question is, how far can you go? And, you know, that is really the problem that we've been facing for quite a long time.
But it's so, the gentleman just now mentioned about Barbados with the Transport Board. Liat is the ZRs of the Caribbean. And I'm saying that we should get together and subsidize it. Decrease the amount of taxes. You will get more people traveling. And I believe it will work out. I don't believe we should look to get those little fly-by-night airlines coming together. Because the same thing will happen. How come you don't want to reduce the taxes? But then, when these private enterprises come, you're looking at reducing the taxes. I don't see how it will work. I believe they should come together and discuss and still keep Liat.
Well, we wait and see what the regional governments decide. Clearly, you know, Barbados has taken its position. He feels that they have treated him badly as a minority shareholder.
I see so too.
And, you know, that there wasn't enough discussion. And when he went to the meeting expecting that there would have been discussion, it seemed as though he felt that the agenda was set in such a way that he was never given an opportunity to have his say. So he's decided, well, if that's the way you're going to deal with it, then I will go public.
What do you think about St. Lucia not putting any money?
St. Lucia has done this for quite some time. Alan Chastanier has a perspective on regional travel. Don't forget, he used to work with Air Jamaica. So that whole experience there might have informed his thoughts as to the direction that regional aviation should take. And in many instances, you get the sense that it is he's looking to foreign players to help us out in the region. That seems to be the situation.
Anyway, I will hope that they come together with Liat again.
We will see.
Okay.
Right. So we've spoken a bit about Liat, and then there's some other things that we have here on the table. The water situation in St. John, you had this discussion yesterday. And from what has been said in the news, the timing of that meeting is interesting because it seems to me as though the solution to the problems in St. John, when it comes to being able to actually get water, is going to take a while longer to deliver on that. This concern which has been raised by the people of St. John, St. Andrew, St. Peter, repeatedly for years is unfair, it's unreasonable, that if people cannot get water, they should be getting bills from the Barbados Water Authority. But you know how these things work. If the Water Authority had been a private entity, a private sector operation, everybody would know how unfair that is. But as long as it is a government entity, it has to be treated differently. And quite honestly, for all that I've seen over the years, the statutory corporations really need to treat people more fairly. They need to be brought to a position where they don't get away with things just because they are state-owned and state-run. The complaints coming from those people, I mean, need to be heard. So you get the impression from what was said by the minister involved that the proposal is that they will make some kind of attempt to look at the problem. He could give no definitive answer, nothing more definitive than that. They were going to examine this situation. It really would be interesting to find out how much money the Barbados Water Authority would lose if those people who have not been getting water were to stop paying water bills. But this is grossly inefficient and unfair to people. But here's another one that people, you know, you don't hear about this one too often. This person says that they visited the dentist and was told that the tooth couldn't be saved, that they needed to have an extraction. So they said, go ahead, without knowing the cost of the extraction. So they say that when they went to pay the bill and they got the total, that all the other teeth started to hurt because they were asked to pay $400 plus $125 for an X-ray, and concludes that this is ridiculous. She said that from a couple of years ago, at $150 to $400 today, this person also goes on to say that they didn't even spend 20 minutes in the chair. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to the dentist in recent times, but some practices prevail among dentists in this country that really, not all of them do it, but many of them appear to go to conventions in the United States that have taught them how to extract money from the teeth of customers in Barbados. Now, to whom do you turn? You go to the Fair Trading Commission? No. When you look at what's happening here in that area, you have to be shopping around more than anything else to be able to you know, get some positive situation. The fees have gone up over quite a number of years. I don't know what has happened because of COVID. It may well be that, you know, COVID has created a more difficult situation, but this too is hurting a lot of people. And the question is, does it create an environment where fewer people go to the dentist? Because if you feel that it's costing you too much, and somebody should explain the X-ray process in some of these offices, because You know, when you go into the office, the person who is taking your x-ray is protected and stuff like that. But you question, why is it that every time I go to the dentist, I go get an x-ray? For what? And isn't that dangerous for me to be having to get an x-ray so regularly? These are things that are happening here that people grumble about, but don't really come out and talk about and say, explain this to me. This isn't fair. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Down to brass. Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What was that last bill that you just called here for?
$400 plus $125 for the x-ray.
Well, I didn't know what you're talking about. I am holding a bill here in my hands right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom figure is $6,840.
For what?
One tooth. Surgery, $2,650. Anesthesia, $900. Bayview Hospital, $2,340. Another doctor worked out the price. He said, well, I didn't know that a tooth had cost so much money. Though he counted the amount of teeth in a person's mouth, which he would know, I'm not cognizant of the amount. And the total that I have here in my hands is $6,840. And this was done in a matter of 4 hours at Bayview. So I don't know if you talk, Mr. Ellis. You go talk about price. I got here in my right hand.
But you know,
I speak to you.
You know, I expect that all of that was outlined to the person, if that person was you, before the actual surgery, and you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, but David, what you're going to do? Your child is in pain with a tooth overlap in the back. It is causing pain. You go to the dentist. They say, well, look, the only you have to go to surgery. The surgery has to be done in a professional place. The professional place is Bayville, Bay Street, or whatever it is. You know what I mean. Don't want to call out any names, but you have it here written down.
But you called total, I thought you called the hospital name already.
No. Well, I'm saying not the general hospital, obviously. Right. Mm. And I have it here broken down. As I just called to you. So, I mean, what you're talking is you don't really know the figures that some of these fairs make. And this event, this year happened in less than 4 hours. You understand what I'm telling you?
I understand.
I would not even go into other things that I would want to talk to you about. Well, let me touch this here with you to let you know you're talking $400 and some dollars. What shit was that? $6,840 in less than 4 hours. One other doctor said, you say like in the wrong field. Have a good day, David.
Okay. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, David, I heard you talking about dentists.
Yes.
Just about 8 weeks ago, I called a dentist and told me he wasn't working. So I looked through the book and I found another dentist. And I called and she gave me a date. And I go on to the dentist. X-ray and everything for this teeth. And I was surprised because when I done, and I asked the price, $275. Because I know a few months ago I went to one, and I paid $150. I said, $275. Anyhow, I wanted it out. And the job was pretty easy. But if you don't shop around nowadays, you would spend your hand, your foot, your leg, and everything here. Yeah,
look, it is a trend that I've watched for quite some time. And I mean, at the personal level, I have moved around because of that. I found that some of the practices seem not to pay enough attention to the costs that patients are exposed to. And what happens here, as I said, is that the only solution that appears to exist right now is to shop around.
You got to do that.
Yeah.
Because I had that give me the price and everything even before he got there. So I would know what I was going to pay, right? And, you know, that's all. I just called the lend my 2 cents worth.
Okay. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Yes. Hi.
Yes, David. I was in town and I not too long get back home, but listening to the call-in program, I want to put this in the context of government regulations, standards, and quality,
mm-hmm.
right? Talking about the fees that dentists are charging and water. Anything in this country is called for that, right?
Yes.
Are we following the COVID protocol? And one of the things that is required is the whole question of having sanitized and masks. I have no problem with that. But what is the quality of the sanitized solutions that people are being subjected to? I went in the store this morning, more than one, and the people are using raw alcohol. I say raw alcohol deliberately because 70% alcohol on your skin is not good. Right now, my hands are burning me. At one store, I wasn't very pleasant. I was saying, y'all cannot do this to customers. The regulation says sanitize, and sanitize has to be also for the health of the customer. And if you're putting alcohol on people's hands, or you're subjecting them to probably damaging to the skin. So I feel that in terms of coming back to the context, standardization, what is government's role in standardizing products that people are subjected to, whether it be, in this case, it's sanitizers, in another case, it could be water, in another case, it could be how fruits and vegetables are weighed. All of these things, what is standardized? You know, you go in the supermarket, they have cut cheese, and you question the hygiene that is going on. What is government role in quality control and standards? This is not fair to us. My hand here burning me like anything else.
Is this the first time it has happened for you?
This is the first time it's burning so bad because I had to go into more than one store. So I got to the habit of asking, what is your sanitizing? Some say pure alcohol. Some say sanitizing. When you say sanitizer, it having a measure of glycerol or glycine. So that will help with the moisturizing effect.
Right. But I agree with you that in the circumstances, there really should be a standard that is set and maintained.
I agree mm-hmm.
with you. There's some missing elements sometimes in trying to deal with these protocols. And one of the things that we need to do along with all of this is to remind Barbadians of the importance of wearing the mask and following the protocols as well. I think that it comes across as though we've eased up on that a bit, and it has helped to create a level of complacency that is dangerous.
No, David, that's not what I'm speaking to.
I know that. You're speaking about the standardized approach to the...
Asians on the whole are compliant to the protocols.
Yes.
I don't think that that's a big, big issue. It could be, you know, it's lax here and there, but don't let me veer off the point. What is government responsibility and merchants' responsibility to the health of their customers?
So what would you suggest that the government should do?
I would suggest that government take a role in regularization. You know, that's one of the big issues that we're speaking to at the moment. How do we ensure that health practices are ensured in all institutions? And at this time, this one is mass. Let me say, a couple of years ago, and don't cut me off, I ain't calling the names or anything like that, I went to have a minor surgery at one of these clinics that have around the place. They really refused to go into people's place because, one, the windows were open. Two, they just had a little curtain at the door. No proper sanitization. All the things that you think that if you're going to have a surgery, they know not me and they're not subjecting my health to this. So overarchingly, is how our, us as a people, are these things are regulated to ensure standards and quality. You talk about the dentist in general. Now, that's another big area for standardization. I'm talking about the cost now. I'm talking about how you ensure that when you go into any practice for our health, that we are protected. And this is where government have to come and be very vocal. And I'm putting that out there, and I would like the Minister of Health or somebody to speak. So if business will continue to comply to this hand sanitization, it's going to cause problems because people are objecting to pure alcohol. It's not good for us.
All right. Well, thanks for raising the issue. It's relevant.
Definitely.
Would you, well, yes, you just hold on. Just hold on. We're going to come back to you. Just hold on. Down to brass tacks. This person says that in their judgment, there needs to be a regulatory body, an effective one, for dentists in this in Barbados. They say that dentists here are out of control, and with no established regulatory body, it will get worse. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hi, David. I'm still here.
Yes, ma'am.
In terms of, let me just go back to the alcohol thing per se, in terms of a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one of the things that people's regulatory bodies do is random sampling. There's nothing wrong with the Ministry of Health sending out its public health officers and do random sampling of these sanitizers that they have for the place. That's just one suggestion. It needs to be looked at because if people continue to be harmed by it, they're going to resist using it. That's one suggestion. But can I lend my voice to the LIAT?
Yes, of course.
I'm a baby of the 70s and the 80s, and I the concept of government involvement in providing services for people is one of my things that are very large on my agenda. Now, I don't want it to be too absolute here because I don't know all the facts. I miss Mr. Brown from Antigua's positioning. But let me just say this there in this context. I am very skeptical. When the solutions to a LIAT organizations of bodies of airlines that exist to people in government or in private sector that can be considered conflict of interest. And when we are not getting full information, somebody raised the issue a little earlier about the concept about service, cost, benefit, and price. Let me put it within that context. Now, the cost to running LIAT, the price to running LIAT is expensive. Maybe it could be treated, it can become more efficient and so on, but there's certain inbuilt operational costs that will probably always make it run as a deficit airline. In that way, what are the price we as a region will have to pay if we forego a concept of a LIAT? Imagine, don't forget that a lot of our fruits and vegetables and all things, LIAT is not only people transport, you know. It's an inter-island travel transport for a lot of things. And what would it mean for the region for us to not have that? So basically, I would just really like for our CARICOM brothers and sisters at that level to really get away from this neoliberal way of running the region. We cannot do that. I have been listening.
What is the neoliberal way?
If everything is based on privatization and the profit motive without the concept of bearing in mind the welfareism and service. And that is something that we as a region are where we are because we built that into, let me use the word charter of development, within CARICOM, within CARISTA, then CARICOM and so on and so forth, have major faults. And maybe that's what we should start to do, start addressing the things that are causing our machineries to be inefficient, as opposed to just dumping them away or what have you, and bringing in questionable operations that the efficiency is not even looked at. So that's just my voice to the whole thing. And normally, there's a lot of things I would like to call in on, but I come on a cell phone, and I really can't afford to be spending so much money on calls. But I said, you know, and so this is just my little contribution, but a regulatory framework in this country has to be come on board in a larger way for a lot of things. And I just, let me just mention another thing, packaging of meat, packing of chicken, these kind of things and so on and so forth. I remember in the early days of Brastack, what did I mean Brastack? They showed me feedback or something like that. There was a man that used to call Corned Beef Man or something like it.
Yes.
And he used to ask about the whole question of weight and measurements and stuff like it.
Yeah.
At one stage, he would not have put it within the context of quality control and standardization. But we had certain things in place. How are we going forward as a nation if the fundamentals that bring this society to where it is are disregarded? And thank you very much.
Well, can you just do me a favor and leave your information there with the producer? I will call you back later. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. You on the air? Hello?
David?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, good afternoon.
You're on the air. It's an afternoon. Yeah, it is 11:29. It's still early.
Yeah, morning, sir.
Morning.
I'm a first-time caller. I was listening to you talking about Liat just now and Guyana. Not Guyana, I'm pulling a teak. I could go from here from Barbados to Guyana and get a teak pull free of cost at the Jenkins School. And also, I can get a filling for $3,000, which is, say, about 30 Barbados dollars.
So why is Barbados so different?
Barbados is so expensive, too expensive. You could buy a plane ticket for the yacht and go to Ghana and get your teeth pulled, and it ain't cost you $6,000. It ain't cost you $1,000.
Well, how would you suggest that we tackle the problem? Turn the radio off, please. It's distracting you. Sir, all right, let's move on. Down to Brass Tacks. This person said that they visited a service station last week, and on entering the shop, the attendant sprayed their hand with sanitizer. They put sanitizer in quotation marks. But when they smelled it, there was a very faint trace of vinegar and mainly water. I objected to the use of this solution since I felt it is defeating the purpose of sanitizing. They are trying to cut corners, says the writer. I also noticed some supermarkets are also diluting their mixtures. This is down to Brass Tacks.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Mr. Ellis. I have a number of issues of concern as a first-time caller, but I'm going to stick to communication. What I'm saying is going to hinge around communication. Now, I've been listening to your program from time to time, and there's a grave matter of concern when it comes to employees, primarily as it relates to the tribunal setting of Barbados. Now, I understand that the tribunal has restarted since this new government has come into play.
The employees' rights tribunal. Yes.
I have not been hearing very much on the tribunal, and I am well aware that there are cases in the tribunal for years, and I have a problem with the fact that there's a lack of communication, let me put it that way. Your case is there. As the employee, you follow the procedures. You've submitted all your information, and no one is getting back to you. Now, Mr. Ellis, that is just one issue. A lot of persons are sitting down quietly because of either fear of victimization, they're suffering, they're being undermined, and nothing, in my view, is being done because the matter is not being addressed. And more compounding is that you're hearing of cases I'm trying to understand the basis of how the tribunal functions, because I've read of cases which were latter cases that came up and tried, and you heard of deliberations and so on, and you have cases years ago, and nothing is being said.
How long is your case going back?
2013.
Wow, it's a long time.
And is it the tribunal more than one occasion? Sometimes in cases you can't necessarily afford a lawyer, but you consulted with a lawyer. And a lot of things, Ms. Ellis, there's so many things I can say, but I know the time is limited here. But what concerns me most about Barbados is the lack of communication and poor service. And when I listen to the politicians, yes, they have their job to do. I am pleased with the communication of this government, but it comes over that you hear the matters being communicated on a public forum, and the grassroots persons, they are suffering. The National Insurance is another typical example. It is well aware that the National Insurance is now overwhelmed with unemployment benefits. But I can tell you of cases where persons are going to the National Insurance repeatedly. You're making claims, you're making inquiries, you're calling, and the mere communication is lacking. And Mr. Ellis, it is very frustrating. And I am concerned that I'm not hearing enough on these issues because, like I said, a lot of persons are keeping quiet for many reasons. We also now have another case now where, with COVID-19, employers are, yes, we know that they will have to cut costs, but I'm talking about the communication process in which they're doing it. You have cases where people are being made redundant or being sent home, whatever term they use, you know, and or cases where they're offering less pay and there's no proper consultation. So my concern today is things that relate to communication in this country. It is hard, and like I said, it is very much frustrating. It's been burning, and this is not only people on the lower ground that is suffering. There are people who are in middle income brackets that is also suffering. And I would like to hear what is the basis of how the tribunal is addressing their cases. Is it first come, first all? You know, what is the method they're using to try cases?
Well, I think that the question that you have raised is an important one for so many people out there, because you don't really get a lot of information, public information, about what is happening with these tribunals. And as a result, part of what they need to do, I think, is to increase the flow of information so that, you know, people like you will be in a much better position. But going back to 2013, information is not enough. I mean, the real critical issue here is speeding up the process.
But the thing about it, when you visit their office too, you're not getting any satisfaction, and you're spending money because we're talking about bus fare or gas.
Yes.
You're going to make inquiry on your own behalf because you recognize it's your interest. You understand? But you're only one person. There are many other persons who are silent on the issue.
Yes.
And the same goes for the National Insurance. You're making an effort to go there. Sometimes you go and you get all kinds of unmannerly attitudes from people. You know, but there are many people, Mr. Ellis, who are making a legitimate effort. But what is coming across is total dissatisfaction. And it is frustrating. I'm telling you, there are many persons who are in dire straits, but they're just not coming and saying. And I mean, I was pushed to call your program on many occasions, but thankfully now I happen to get through. The situation in Barbados is very ridiculous. And I honestly believe for a country that promotes tourism at a high level, the service sector has a lot to be desired. A lot of services are very poor in how they handle people, how they deal with people on the whole. You know, you're going to businesses and sometimes you make simple inquiries and the reaction you get.
Well, you know, the government recognizes this, and that's why it has advanced the idea of the National Training Initiative. It is aimed at retraining people across the board and tackling these very issues that concerns that you have raised.
One of my other concerns is it's like I said, I have many concerns, but I wouldn't stay very long. The issue of the whole the group that is promoting for the Black Lives Matter. My concern is I would like to see, and it includes myself too, but what I find is that people talk a lot and don't activate anything. It's a lot of speech for over the years I've been here. I am saying fight for other causes. Fight for people who are suffering. You know, let everybody come together and say this is what... Because I don't know if it is really known to the politicians what is really going on. They claim to know. They come out and communicate all well and fine. But deep down in people's homes, they are suffering. And I think it really needs to be dealt with. From the water you spoke about to every other situation. And those are my primary concerns today, the tribunal being the highest on the list, because it's now very frustrating. And I can say, and people, listen, Mr. Ellis, people are being affected mentally, medically, already not having money and still have to go and expend money to doctors because of what they may be going through, quietly, in their own corners, and it is not fair.
Well, those people who are going through that, you know that one way of making that point is to share the experience with us. Many times we come in here and we deal with these things from the big picture level. But it is always important to hear from people who are saying, look, this is my experience. I mean, even with COVID, you don't hear people in Barbados telling you, well, I recovered from COVID. And since then and up to now, these are the things that I have experienced. Why can't we share that kind of information with the public? You know, I am interested in those things, you know, so that we get a better understanding. All we get is a bunch of notices that come out every now and then.
Ever so often.
About
it's
COVID.
True.
We got one COVID test and we've done so well. Yes, we have. But people have had to live beyond that.
Correct.
So tell me, I want to know how. When you had a combination of hydroxychloroquine and this and that, what effect has that had on people since then? This is important information. We should be tracking those things as we go along at the medical level and in the broad society. So that's what drives me when I sit down here to listen to people talk about situations. I am really keen to hear not about the other people and what they're saying, but how does it touch you? How does it change your life? And coming out of your experience, what are you going to recommend? What are you suggesting to the people who are in decision-making positions, you know?
I'm going to recommend communication for sure. There needs to be better communication, especially with this tribunal situation.
Yes.
I'm going to recommend that. And before I go, I want to highlight one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give props to teachers, because during this COVID-19 period and having to do homeschooling, I've always recognized the importance of teachers and their value, but I want to highlight more that as parents, we need to recognize that the challenge is great for them. It is great, because I have seen firsthand, Mr. Ellis, looking on what the teacher, and these children are at home, and teachers still encounter challenges. So can you imagine in some schools with 27 and 29 children per class, what the teachers...
So what are the challenges that they encounter right now with the children at home?
Well, I can tell you from what I have seen with my experience, total distraction in some of the classrooms. Total distraction. You have children at home who cannot be attentive, who in some cases, I don't know if they're supervised, because I suspect with the kind of behavior I've seen that they could not have been supervised. You have children lying on a bed, which is not... the ideal, like I said, I don't know the person's home setting, so I don't want to speak widely on it all, but I'm saying you've had cases of total distraction. And what surprised me is that you have children at 9-year level. The teacher is teaching and they're chatting with their friends in the classroom. So can you imagine how distracting that is? And the teacher is continuing to tell them, for instance, about that kind of behavior, and it continues. So I don't know if some of it was due to lack of supervision. And then you have cases where parents too are in the background and carrying on in their own, you know, little sessions. So it still is, because school is still continuing. You know, so I'm saying, apart from the fact that we've had cases of lack of devices and, you know, technological problems, the teachers have had a lot of other difficulties and challenge to deal with in the classroom setting, being online. And it suggests to me that there are even greater challenges in the physical school setting, which needs to be dealt with.
I saw a piece in the United States recently about pediatricians saying that in their judgment, it is better to have the children in the classroom setting rather than where so many other people suggest that we need to go. I was just looking to see if I could find that particular piece, but it's something that, you know, for us, they sometimes do more studies into these matters than we do. And as a result, you know, they have a perspective that we need to take into consideration as we forge ahead with the way that we are proposing to deal with some of these issues. All right. But thank you very much for calling. I have some information to share here. There was some person who asked earlier about the ED cards. And this was the Barbadian who says that they are attempted to come home in August. And they wanted to get information about the ED card and the certificate that is supposed to be issued when you are tested 72 hours before traveling. I'm informed here that the ED cards are being worked on and should be available online from the 9th of this month. And the website to be used will be announced. I'm also told that the reason why the form is not available now is because it must be completed 3 days before travel. And you may know that flights are to recommence on the 12th. For the person traveling in August, the form would be available for them because it will be issued in time for them to be able to get the tests and be able to get to Barbados within the specified period. So I hope that helps you. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, good afternoon, myself.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. I want to tell you this is the first time I'm calling in. I'm Dr. Armagan, president of the Dental Association here in Barbados.
Yes, Dr. Armagan. Yeah, there's some concerns here about the rising costs of dental care in the country and strong suggestions that because there is no strong regulation of dentists that we know of, that people are being taken advantage of. And that is the sentiment that has been shared here today. I've had several people share information. Some I haven't put on the air. But that is what is coming through. Now, from the Dental Association, what is the response?
Well, sir, I would like to say, first of all, we have an excellent health care in Barbados. So it is unparalleled in many third and second world countries. Now, where the regulation of dentistry is concerned, we do have a strong regulatory body. So there's a government regulatory body called the Dental Council that does regulate dentists.
It regulates dentists, but not their fees.
It does not. And quite honestly, sir, if you go back, we were talking about Guyana, we were talking about CARICOM. If you go back to a case with Chetty Jagan, Dr. Chetty Jagan, when he returned to Guyana in the late 40s and 50s, he fought against the British because he returned as a dentist, charged what the British dentists were charging, realizing that the poor black and Indian people cannot afford those fees, lowered his fees in reality, and had a landmark case where the Dental Council took him to court and told him he had to raise his fees. He then said, look, the role of the Dental Council is to regulate standards, not fees. And that is the sentiment that continues today. Now, okay, if we feel that the fees are going in the other direction, that they're too high, let us try to analyze and figure out what we can do to get those things back in place.
So we all are hearing you all are hearing this for the first time? Your patients don't say to you, look, well, I'm shocked. This person said they got an extraction, and the extraction, they've seen the cost of an extraction move from $150 to $400 plus $125 for the X-ray. And that's what shocked them.
All right, so let me address it in a couple of stages, as opposed to addressing that specific concern, and I will get to that. First of all, there's no dental school in Barbados. Any dentist in Barbados has been trained overseas. fees overseas right now are anywhere from 25,000 US to 50,000 US per annum. If you're going to the US or Canada or England, you have to pay those fees as with any North American or British dentist. Fees in Barbados are far lower than they are in North America. And if we were to look at the cost of education, if we were to look at cost of goods, for us to import stuff here is a nightmare. We've been petitioning the governments of Barbados for, I would say, over 15 years to remove VAT and duties from medical and dental equipment and supplies to keep the fees in Barbados lower than they are right now. But even so, a dental procedure in Barbados is far less expensive than anywhere in the U.S. or Canada or England. And it's a similarly trained dentist. They're using similar materials, and it's far less expensive. The dentists are taking a hit on the margin side of things. Are the fees getting higher and higher? Well, absolutely. Every year, the materials in the U.S. go up by 4 or 5%, guaranteed. Do your dental fees go up in Barbados every year by 4 or 5%? Absolutely not. And there are a lot of other issues. There's the cost of technology. To put in a digital x-ray, which is sort of the standard of care right now, I put one in my office. It costs us almost $500,000.
Does that explain why some dentists are charging people every time they go in to get an x-ray? Because they got to pay for the machine?
Well, no, but as a cost, where do you go and receive a service anywhere in the world and not have to pay for a fee for that service? Where can you go and get an x-ray? You take where? A medical facility, a dental facility? Where do you go and get an x-ray and not have to pay for it?
We understand that you may have to pay for it, but where the suspicion is aroused is
absolutely
in the fact that once you pay for the machine, once you've bought it, then you have to pay back for it. And in that context, what happens is that people feel as though they're being asked to take x-rays more regularly than they ought to. Because at the end of the day, this is helping to pay back for the machine and the other costs.
I would say that absolutely not. I would tell you, look, dentistry in itself is a profession designed to get rid of ourselves. We came up with fluoridation to eliminate cavities. We ask people to come for checkups every 6 months so they don't end up in problems. People don't do that. They come when they have an emergency. When you walk in there with a toothache, we have to take an x-ray. We have to know what's going on, or else then we face medical legal challenges. Because if that person comes in and complaining they don't want the x-ray, and we go ahead and do something, and it turns out we didn't do the right thing, you're not going to hear, oh, well, I didn't want the x-ray. We need to use the technology to get the information to do the procedure properly. We're not we're not in the jungle somewhere that we just want to bring the guy in and or the lady in and just do whatever happens. We need to figure out what the problem is. We have to diagnose it properly, and we have to treat it properly. Are there people out there that are abusing the system? There may be one or two. I don't even know. But I would tell you, on the Dental Association side, we are very, very strict in it. We've been calling for a long time for a schedule of fees where we would publish our fees, what would be a guideline of fees. I can't force any dentist to follow that guideline. But then we hit troubles. We hit troubles of saying the Fair Trading Commission says, in the previous government, we had an issue where they said that would be illegal. It would be illegal to come together and have a schedule of fees. And I said, well, that's insane. We need a schedule of fees so the public would have a general expectation, hey, an x-ray costs $125. So if I go to Dr. X and it's $250, if Dr. X is not providing a better service, a better piece of equipment, something that I want to go there for, I can choose to go elsewhere. But at least I have some semblance of what should be a reasonable fee for this procedure or this service, right? And those are some of the challenges we're facing. We want duties and VAT and all that to be eliminated from medical and dental supplies and equipment. We've been begging for that for years. No movement on that whatsoever. But that's the only way we can keep costs down in Barbados. Every time we bring in a piece of equipment, and we want the equipment to come in because we want you to be able to have the same level of treatment as you would receive in a first world country. We don't want technology to be available in North America and not have it here in Barbados. I heard a gentleman talk about going to Guyana and getting a filling for $3,000. And yes, $3,000 is $30. And yes, he's right. He can go and do that. But I would say to you, where are those dentists trained? They're trained in Guyana. Can they do a filling? Absolutely. Are they using materials out of, you know, where are we getting them from? U.S., Canada, whatever? Probably not. It probably comes from India, China, Pakistan.
But do you know
the studies that go behind those?
But Dr. Armagon, don't you think that in 2020, we really should have been talking about a school of dentistry in the Caribbean?
Absolutely.
What is the whole
thing? And we do have.
We do. So, in other words, you have spoken about the people who have to pay between $25,000 and $50,000 per annum for training. Would we do any better in that regard if we had this training done within the region, or would we be worse off?
We would be far better off. We would have a standard we could hold. Unfortunately, Trinidad has a dental school. They are now coming under what we call an accredited dental school. The problem we were having under the previous administration, I had a big blowout with one of the previous ministers of health, Mr. Don Delinas, where the government had basically tried subverting the registration process. So there's a legal registration process in Barbados. If you're trained in an accredited dental school, you can gain entry into Barbados. So regardless of your nationality, you can come to Barbados. Your nationality then is an immigration issue. However, the government of Barbados at that time was trying to get people that graduated from the, at that time, unaccredited or Trinidad Dental School and slip them in through a back door into Barbados, which is what we don't want. We don't want you getting cheap treatment, but it means that a person working on you is not suitably qualified.
All right, well, let's take a break here. I hope you can stay with us.